Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the earnings conference call Q4 FY26 of Tex Mco Real Engineering Limited, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Navin Sahadeo from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Shailendra. Good afternoon, all. I welcome you all to the Q4 FY26 conference call of Tex Mco Rail Engineering Limited. From the management, we have with us Mr. Indrajit Mukherjee, Executive Director and Vice Chairman, Mr. Sudipto Mukherjee, Managing Director, Group CFO Mr. Pramod Gupta, Company CFO Mr. Kishore Kumar Rajagaria, and also the Deputy CFO of the company, Mr. Sandeep Banka. So without any further ado, I hand over the floor to the management for their opening comments. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Indrajit Mukherjee. It's always been a pleasure talking to you every quarter. This also will continue like this, and you will have more pleasure when we talk because of our advancing and our growth. So having said that, I'd like to welcome once again to today's earnings call of Tex Mco Rail Engineering Limited. We shall be predominantly discussing the financial performance for the quarter just passed, which is the fourth quarter, and the full-year results of financial year 2025-26. We will also discuss with you our growth plan and some of the milestones which we are achieving or we are yet to achieve. The financial results and presentation materials have already been filed with the stock exchanges, and I'm sure that you had the opportunity to review them ahead of our discussion today. During quarter four FY26, we demonstrated strong operational performance, reflecting the effectiveness of our focused execution, disciplined financial management, and commitment to our long-term growth strategy. In spite of various challenges, we continue to improve our operations, maintain stability, and drive value for our stakeholders. We are steadily enhancing our position as the leading provider of rail and infrastructure solutions, and with the expanding range of capabilities across manufacturing, engineering, rail systems, technology-driven services. These efforts reinforce our vision for sustainable growth and our dedication to meeting the evolving needs of our clients and the market. Having given a brief overview, let me take you through some of the important parameters or some of the important performance parameters of Q4 of FY25-26. We reported a revenue from operations of 1,167 crore, reflecting, although it's reflecting at 13.3% compared to the same quarter last year, which you know and we have explained earlier why it happened primarily due to the challenging marketing conditions. Despite all these difficult conditions, which all of you know, despite this revenue drop, the company's resilience. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 116 crores, which is about 10%, which represents a year-on-year improvement of almost 1.2 percentage point, 1.2%. Profit after tax stood at 58 crores, reflecting a PAT margin of 5%, which also is an increase of 206 basis points compared to the same period last year. Additionally, direct expenses decreased 0.8% QOQ, which really made us to turn out the sterling performance, underscoring the success of our efficiency and effectiveness improvements. These margin expansions highlight our ability to manage costs effectively, improve profitability under any circumstances. Now let me turn into the financial year. In the financial year of 2026, we reported a revenue from operations of 4,377 crore, which once again is a decline of 14% compared to the last year. From the profitability perspective, EBITDA for the year was 450 crores with an EBITDA margin of 10.2%, while profit after tax was 194 crores, translating into a margin of 4.4%. In our conference, in our investors calls earlier, we had mentioned that one of the very major impediments that we passed through is because of challenging positions in the supply chain, with a special emphasis to availability of build sets, which hampered our performance in the quarter one of FY 25-26. Performance during the year was impacted lower level, as I said, because of the supply chain issues and rail and green energy, which we normally call our Kalindi division's performance. However, the good news is that the infra, which is the electrical business, electrification business, which also we term as Bright Power division, has grown by 66% to a revenue of 610 crores with an EBIT margin of 10.8%, and it shows a phenomenal growth for days to come. The company has remained focused on maintaining a strong balance sheet, driving cost optimization throughout the year. And as a part of this strategy, our cash flow improved. The net debt decreased to ₹444 crores, reflecting a disciplined financial management and a focus on reducing leverage. The net debt to equity ratio improved from 0.22 in FY25 to 0.21 in FY26, in H1 of FY26, and further strengthened to 0.18 in the end of FY26. This consistent reduction in debt levels underscores our commitment to enhancing financial stability, ensuring long-term growth, and improving shareholder value. In fact, it puts us into a unique position to satisfy our growth aspirations for the coming years. On the operational front, we delivered 2,196 freight cars in Q4 of FY 2026, while the foundry division recorded a total volume of 8,964 metric tons. For the full year, company delivered 8,372 freight cars, which could be lower than last year where we had record numbers, but still we are one of the top primary manufacturers of freight cars and possibly one of the high market shareholders. The foundry division achieved a 34,000 metric ton performance. The performance of both the quarter and the year-wise was impacted strongly by global supply chain disruptions, which affected production schedules, shipping, transportations on export, imposition of U.S. tariffs also destabilized some of our very strong business with the U.S. And these had, no doubt, some amount of adverse effect on our volume, which, as you understand, was beyond our control. There is one more subject which I have to say to you, that you would have noticed from our published results that the company has created a provisions for contingencies of 700 crores from its free reserves. We would like to talk about this before we discuss all other exciting around adjacencies and breakaway growth business. In context of ongoing geopolitical tension and trade uncertainties, which includes energy supply, shipping, transportation, supply chain, we have seen instances of large contracts not meeting their expected outcome due to these uncontrollable external factors. Keeping this in mind, keeping in mind of this volatile and uncertain macroeconomic situation, the company wanted to start the next phase of Texmaco, or transformation of Texmaco, as you can call Texmaco 2.0 journey, with adequate safety net. Accordingly, as a risk mitigation measure, our risk management committee, audit committee, and the board and the management decided that it would be most prudent to make a contingency provisions against any possible unforeseen circumstances. I must tell you that this has no cash impact on this on because of this provision. It is an exercise in strengthening our balance sheet and improving our risk-taking capability as we bid to win large contracts. Overall, the company believes the provision enhances financial resilience, transparency, which is very important, long-term sustainability, while preserving visibility of the underlying operational performance and supporting continued growth. In this respect, I also must say that there are a huge amount of claims for our projects which are pending, and these are the ones which takes a little bit of time, so we need to hold some patience. The company believes that this contingency provision is a maximum potential risk under the worst case scenario. As we get more visibility of implementation of the ongoing and the future contracts and realizations of significant claims that it has in relation to the ongoing project, there will be scope for potential savings out of these contingency provisions. And I already have mentioned of some huge claims also which are lying, which we are working on with our customers. You would also have noticed that the statutory auditors have thus qualified their report. This has been done only on account of provision being adjusted against the free reserves instead of taking it from the profit and loss account, which the management believes is the right thing to do, and as the contingency provision is not related to any specific risk or within any specific time frame. As we commence our journey for FY 2027 with a refreshed strategic path, we are looking forward to scaling the railways business profitably, even as we complement its cyclical nature with non-linear growth drivers across new and nascent industries. Dear investors, I think there are great stories to say, because it's just a story, it's reality. Our future looks absolutely strong, and we are sitting on a very strong, solid foundation. As we go forward, you will see that while we are excelling our dependence on the wagon industry, we also are ensuring at the same time that our over-dependence is reduced because of the cyclical nature of the industry. We thus have our successful move into EPC projects, railway-related projects, adjacencies, and also few other related growth areas. And I think there is no one else who should be able to narrate this to you other than the person who is making it to happen. So I would like to hand it over to our Managing Director, Sudipto Mukherjee, to tell you what we are doing, how we have all as a team agreed into a vision to 2030, and this is just not a vision, it's becoming a reality day by day. You will have more, you will hear more good news about it. So Sudipto.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. It's always a pleasure to connect with you. You must have noticed or seen the document we have uploaded as a presentation and the vision and the way forward for the company. But to explain the rationale and to pass to you the underneath thinking, thought that we use this platform as a kind of interaction and a kind of pitch from our end. So, while we are continuously doing and growing in the core segment and we are differently approaching it, so in the whole theme of it, what we have identified that, of course, the predominance in the rolling stock, freight rolling stock and its components, while we have a robust market, domestic market in India, but it always goes through such cyclicalities which sometimes takes it upward and sometimes, you need to take a seat back. So we as a company, considering the present situation, we of course have to grow. And the theme which we have picked for us is, of course, that we as a company wants to grow in the top line at least 2x. And, of course, one of the large and biggest focus that we wanted to have, that we take our bottom line or the EBITDA percentages mid-teen and above. So considering all of this, we took time and crafted very carefully after a thorough study. A kind of a plan which we called a Texmaco 2.0, where we have considered all kind of risks which could come in and what is the volatility or whatever. And in that way, we have divided this theme into primarily three parts. One is strengthening the core. Why we need to strengthen the core? Because this is one segment. Of course, we admit that there will be effect of cyclicality, but if we see that the relevance of railway is cannot go away, and in the present circumstances overall, such an efficient and sustainable energy solution where it has always a positive impact on the commodity pricing or the GDP growth of our country, so it will always be a relevant, and that's why we thought of focusing more and more on the capability of us and, of course, de-risk the business, which we call as a strengthening the core. So strengthening the core is, of course, will also involve certain inclusions of certain product lines, having the design and engineering capability and also to reach to newer regions. And second theme of the vision is, of course, the synergistic diversification in the way forward, that how we take the company to multiples of the top revenue and the growth. So there, of course, we have carefully analyzed that what is going to change in the way forward and the fund flow so far the government expenditures are concerned. And we all know that there is a huge reliance and importance and fund allocation is happening in and around the safety and network of the railways and also in and around the passenger mobility segment. So in the whole ecosystem, and while we have a infrastructural division, which is now has a tailwind of growth, so we always have felt that rather than having certain technology products within the company, which gives us an leverage and advantage to work around the ecosystem and the supply chain. So while we are remaining dedicated to give a total solution in and around the passenger mobility or the railway safety network. So there the focus is, of course, in also to have the propulsion and also to have this, other power electronic items, and also in signaling, including rubbish and electronic interlocking, MS tag, DPWIS. So all of these makes us a more complete and a strategic player, where we have more control over the ecosystem while we deliver or commit to deliver. Then, of course, we felt that railway has always remained a very efficient, lucrative, sustainable business vertical. While we want to focus and continue to focus and work together, making us a prominent technology company in and around that, we felt that in the whole process of it, we needed to also look for a kind of a breakout diversification, which actually helps us mitigate a lot of risks, and we can always find out some sunshine sector, and which is also on a technical maturity index, maybe little, sounds little breakout, but there is a lot of integration on the engineering side of it. So we chose defense as part of it. Of course, we have focused on the digital business while we have launched our Global Capability Center, and that we have now, of course, you all know that we have launched a platform called Invaris.ai, which is powered by ServiceNow, which is one of the global largest company, and also who works for companies like NVIDIA and all. And we are taking the integration support of AI through that, and we are here to provide service in and around railway, as well as the whole value chain of a business to start with, and then we are going into different path to provide service all over the globe. So this remains the theme, and as part of the Vision 2030 roadmap of the Texmaco 2.0, so therefore we are not only strengthening our core business, but also investing in the development of future-ready growth engines. So in addition to our focus on the wagon and rail infrastructure, as I have mentioned, you can see that we are scaling up on the strategic opportunities with emerging areas into the signaling safety system, cover system, propulsion technologies, metro and urban mobility. So these are, of course, all you will agree that are expected to play a key role in the modernization of the whole railway network. And there is a huge global traction in and around that. If you, along with it, just not to have a transaction mindset, but to imbibe and the technology and develop the capability in and around this and have a control over the ecosystem, it makes us a distinct player in the whole system. So we are proud to be an Indian company being in this horizon and coming up as a global solution provider, as a complete solution provider with a technology backup. So I mean, the theme remains very strong, and our commitment to excellence, supported by the ongoing investments in technology and human capital, that of course positions us navigate the challenges and the pursue the growth opportunities more holistically. So these efforts are intended to drive long-term value, which is, I think, that would be very appreciated and more of a bulletproof, I think, for the interest of the, all the stakeholders and the company. So in the way forward, of course, we are looking forward to make this Texmaco 2.0 in new avatar, which we, of course, want to achieve in next 12 to 36 months. Thank you for the patient hearing. So, of course, we can have questions and answers now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from Kaundinya Nimagadda from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible. Couple of questions from my end. Firstly, on the wagon side of things, what is the kind of visibility that you have with respect to new orders from railways? Is something being discussed out there or is it like completely blank? I mean, if you can throw some color on that before I move on to the next question.
Hi, thank you for asking. We believe very strongly that Indian Railway or the Indian rail story will remain robust. And I repeat that you all have seen that there have been a significant large order. First time in the history of the country was awarded in the year 2022-23. And of course, due to our execution rate, because we remained the highest supplier to Indian Railways, so the railway order portfolio, you may not may be hearing more, but it's poised to come because you see that the as per the National Rail Plan, the kind of achievement India and Indian Railway wants to achieve. There is a huge requirement is going to come, and we believe that in near terms it should be no less than a range of 1.5 to 2 lakhs of wagons, and it is further getting boosted because last 2 years, if the wagon order has not come, government has very carefully worked to decongest the whole railway tracks. So many double lines and corridors have been announced, and we are also happy to let you know that the WDFC and EDFC are also coming into operation. Some of them are already into operation, and the whole integration will happen. So it's the new wave of the cycle is all poised for start. So we have a great hope, and it can come any time. So sometime a little bit of silence is not a bad news. So we always believe that a lot of work is happening behind, and you will see that flow of orders will come in. Second is that government is also encouraging private companies to invest and participate into the system. And there is a lot of traction. I mean, in terms of if you see that the commodity like cement, steel, automobile. So everybody wants an efficient system of transportation, and everybody wants to have a sustainable way of transportation, and everybody wants to have a reduction of logistic cost. So railway has remained the most efficient solutions within the country, and lot of investments are coming in and around it, and a lot of private wagon orders are coming, and railway is also working to come up with a lot of policies for introduction of new designed wagons. So in a combination and as a whole, it gives us a huge hope that there will be a good momentum of rolling stock procurement in the country for a longer term.
Just on that railway order, right? No, have any bids been called out, or is it something still not had been there?
We have not seen any carving out, so we rather find it as a very strategic move because the whole national rail plan. I mean, if we as a layman, if we convert it into the percentages of achievement target was made, because that was the first disclosed, published document of the government, that the railway modal share they wanted to have around 47% so for the whole logistics of the country, and we remain still at the 27-28% mark. because all these sectors are equally growing. And if you see that of late, recently Prime Minister has again asked people to go for railway. So, I mean, overall the system is that, say those 3 lakh or 4 lakh of wagons could not be procured at a go. So there was a first stage which came out around 1.3, 1.4 lakh of wagon from 2022 to 2023. The balance are to come and which we believe will come very soon.
Sure, sir. My second question is on your Vision 2030 plan. So, yeah. See, with respect to, your diversification into wheels or even the metro and everywhere, right, especially something like a wheels, couple of your peers have already ventured out there. Do you think you're a little late to the party and there could be a potential oversupply scenario out here? What's the right to win here for the company, if you can elaborate a bit please?
So very good question. First of all, the whole intent is not to copy. And our strategy to enter into the wheel segment is not being envisaged to play in the same ground. So it has, in the coming days you will get to know. Of course, it helps us in our internal consumption, and there are some kind of assured optic business opportunities we are working around. So it's going to help us as a whole. We see the business in a different light and different playground perhaps.
Yeah, we have considered the supply-demand situation, sir. As Sudipto says, we are just not jumping into a bandwagon. So we have looked at the supply-demand and the product which is going to be, that we are going to be preparing or making it ready for. This is one of our designed movement into the adjacency, railway adjacency. It's not come out of sudden one day's thought.
So one to answer, in the strategy regarding your first point, of course, you have asked me specifically on the railway wagon, Indian railway wagon order perhaps. But for Texmaco, if you have seen that we are also consciously focusing as a de-risk percentile share, that while we want to remain leading position so far supply to Indian Railways are concerned, and at the same time increasing our reach to new other geographies and also to cater to the private segment is also the theme of the whole growth story. And today I'm happy to let you know that our whole order book, if you analyze the wagon, so around 70% is from private. I mean, this is, of course, we are talking on the earning call on 31st March, but one of the recent few developments I can mention that the company is progressing very strongly in the African continent. And we had seen some major order wins, including the Cameroon, now the South Africa, and we are expecting few more. So for us, wagon order for the core business, we find that it will going to remain very, very niche and very close to our heart.
Sure, sir. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Parvez Qazi from Nuama Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So wanted some more details on the South African order that we announced yesterday. The order mentions that we need to supply some 2200 wagons, some 30 diesel locomotives by FY28. And there's also some 15-year maintenance partnership involved. So couple of questions on this. One, of this 4,000 odd crore order, is it all to be delivered over the next 2 years, or is there some maintenance component also included in this 4,000 crore order?
Good afternoon, Mr. Parvez. Thank you for flagging the question. So it's a complete solution providing contract right from design to maintain the whole life cycle, which they define as 15 years. So to answer you, the pricing is inclusive of all of the rolling stock or the wagon and the maintenance of it for 15 years. And regarding delivery, yes, the delivery has to be completed within, as of now, as per the letter of the award, by the financial year end 2028. But there could be some modifications depending upon the situation at the customer's end. It may be less also, it may be more also. So that provision is there, but in terms of the delivery time. So it is not based on us, but we are taking it as a financial year in 2028.
So on this order, what kind of revenues do we expect to book over the next 2 years, FY 27 and 28?
I think this is very far-fetched an answer. You know the order value, so definitely that is going to be the bucket as of now.
And lastly, who will do this locomotive part? I mean, we obviously have capabilities on the wagon side, but for the locomotive production, do we tie up with someone, or how will this be handled?
So we have our strategy and process in place. Now at this point of time, we are not able to disclose everything, but definitely we have accepted the award, and definitely we are eligible to do that, hence we got it. So you will come to know, and I will be happy to, once we progress, we'll be happy to let you know.
See, right now there is a little bit of disclosure issue, so we'll come back to you.
Sure. And just for my knowledge, I mean, I know our contracts with Indian Railways have commodity pass-through. Now, considering that the global supply chain situation is quite volatile, this contract also, does it have raw material cost pass-through, or is it a fixed price contract?
So there is a lot of this kind of global this thing. I cannot be too specific now because it is in an envelope of the total value. So many things in the way forward has to be worked out, because there is a lot of stuff involved into it, including localization and all. So all these things are getting worked out. And to answer you very straight, the risk is very well covered.
Sure, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from Mr. Karan from Asit C. Mehta. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You are audible.
Yeah. No. My question has been answered. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from Darshil Javeri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question, sir. Firstly, congratulations on a great order win, sir, on a good set of results, sir. So, sir, just wanted to understand, like, with our current order book and a new order, how would we look at FY 27, sir, as a whole year, sir, in terms of our revenue and EBITDA?
We definitely envisage a growth, and in terms of top line, and a very good achievement in terms of growth in the bottom line also. We cannot be too specific for a forward-looking statement, but I can tell you that now we have also come out with a vision document that where exactly we want to be, and definitely this is not that is going to happen only on the last year. So we see that there will be incremental progress in the whole journey, and you will find it, there is a significant improvement in both.
Okay, sir, not anything specific, but in general, in terms of margin, like we've done around 9%. So can we aim for at least, 10 to 11% in the next year? How would the margin trajectory be? I don't want any exact numbers, but if, because the South Africa order is also come up, so is that more margin accretive? How could we just look at, our PAT or EBITDA, whatever margin you were able to, disclose?
You are very right, and I'm so happy that you have narrated it so nicely. And our vision 30 document, I mean, whatever I have spelled out as a target or a vision, that we want to 2x our top line, but at the same time we want to sustainably remain on the mid of the mid team of the EBITDA. That is a journey which we want to do, and definitely the answer is that we will see good improvement over and above whatever we have achieved in this year, in the coming year. But to be specific and forward looking, you can appreciate, you know that I can't speak on that.
No worries about that, sir. And sir, just on the lines, like in terms of our new products or something, we're going into, you know, a lot of different segments. So, number one, like to build that, will we need any more capex that, you know, we have outlined? I think we've outlined 200 crores for the defense, but for metros and everything, will we need any more further capex? And with regards to that, sir, like, what about our debt position? Will we increase that also? Or how will we try funding our new capex?
So, you have seen that you have significantly improved on the debt position. And it is today, I think, a little more than 400 crore, and on a ratio, it is less than 0.2. And we are very hopeful that we will generate a good amount of money out of the businesses while we have our growth plan intact. Yes, there will be requirement of capex, and that capex, in spite of that capex, we expect that our ratio should remain within the range. And we'll have a good trajectory, not disproportionate.
Okay, sir. Sir, just wanted to understand, like, what's our interest cost in general? Because I think we are, you know, doing around 120 crores of interest for the full year, right? So just wanted to understand in terms of interest, what is, what is the rate of interest that we are getting on this, you know? We are also very, you know, A plus rated. So how can we, you know, focus a bit on reducing that, sir?
Yeah. So Kishore will come back to you on the interest. One point just I wanted to add on the capex side of it. Of course, you have seen now that the board has approved for a 200 capex for our defense business. So we'll be progressively assessing and doing the way we are going and hitting to the market. Coming back to you and letting you know that what is the kind of topics we are envisaging. But on a envelope as of now, it should be within 1500 crore kind of a for the upcoming
year. Over what period, sir? Over till 2030?
But our finance cost also includes the bank guarantee commissions, LC charges, so that is not only related to interest.
Okay, so a lot of a finance cost will be transferred. Yeah. Fair enough, sir. I have some more questions when I join back the queue, sir. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from Abhinav Bhandari from Bandhan AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just jumping on this South African order once again, just wanted to understand, was it an internationally competitive bidded order or a negotiated order? What kind of peers were there along with us, if it was a competitively bidded order, and what played to our strengths in winning this order? Just some more understanding on that.
I would rather love to mention to you, because I am also not privy to the all the competition what our customer has chosen from. But yes, Texmaco is the only company in India who has the supply track record of 16 countries in the world. And we have the capability of producing various standard bogies and wagons of various gauges, like from meter gauge, cape gauge, standard gauge, broad gauge. And we have the credential of AR, we have the credential of other continents, and our products are successfully running so far as a qualification is concerned. And this is not the only order which Texmaco has won. This is one of the largest, of course, in the history by any Indian company. But our products are already running in that sector successfully over the years and the ages. And when we go to such international competition, yes, we compete with Europeans, we compete with Chinese, to name few. And sometime, of course, you also have a local competition.
Sure, that's helpful. And just some more understanding on if there are such similar prospects lined up for us or the Indian industry as such across the globe, just to understand on that piece.
So as I said that we work on multi-continent and we are already existing there and we have these qualifications. So definitely, I mean, Texmaco as a company will look forward and is engaged in various such business prospects. I can't talk about others.
Got it, got it. Thank you, sir. Congratulations and best wishes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from Sandeep Mukherjee from SKP Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, my first question is like to create a Texmaco 2 aligning with the vision, your vision way of 2030. So how much capex, incremental capex do you need, sir?
I think I have just answered it.
It was not audible actually. It was.
I say that, see, we cannot predict a specific number for the entering into the defense business. Now the board has approved about 200 crore. But this, the whole bucket can be, I mean, we can predict a range of 1,500 to 2,000 crore as of now. But I say that we promise that as we progress in each and we come back to you and let you know what is the kind of estimation we have done.
All right, sir. All right. Thank you.
Because a lot of stuff have to be done and it's in a progressive manner. And it could also have a very, I mean, frequently we have to come back to you and you will get to know.
Okay, okay, sir. And my next question is how much wagons were produced in Jindal, means Texmaco West?
So you have asked me, we have actually, to be very honest, we have started looking at the vehicle numbers which unit has produced because it's a unit of Texmaco now. So we have to see that, but on a consolidated number, I think this year we have produced 8,000, what is the total? 8,000 for under 8,350. So one thing I must tell you that we have to, we as a company have started believing in that we have to come out of this vehicle number. Because when we started talking about this, the whole industry was manufacturing commodity wagons, which railway initially first tendered. Okay. So now there is a whole matrix change in the game. And as I have said about the Texmaco story, that in automobile, in steel, in cement, in alumina, in petroleum, then all of the specialized wagons we are manufacturing and we are doing this export wagon. So each wagon, food grain, so all of these are unique numbers and at a point of time, I think we are making 11 types of wagons. So this was never really seen, and because we have that kind of an infrastructure, we are able to do. So more than the wagon numbers or the vehicle units, what we are looking forward is the quality and the delivery we are making. So volume to value is the journey. I'm very thankful for you to ask this question. So that's what is the one of the fundamental theme of Texmaco 2.0. Whatever we will do, we will more look for value internally as well as externally.
Understood, sir. Helpful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from Mr. Naveen Saidev from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, two quick questions. One was regarding the South African order.
will it be fair to assume that significant portion of the revenues will accrue largely in FY28? I know you didn't give a precise answer to the previous question around this, but at least directionally or to a large extent, is it fair to assume that since we have just received the order, a bulk of the revenues would be booked in FY28, since our endeavor was to finish this or meet this order by FY28?
You are right. As of now, yes.
Right. Thank you.
And one thing just to mention to you that while that South Africa order is covering that, presently we are serving Cameroon. And we are expecting you for this. We are exporting wagons to Cameroon now in this financial year primarily.
Right.
That's also a substantial large order. And that's also comes with maintenance. And we are also expecting few more, which the delivery will also include in this year.
Understood. So just from a, run rate point of view, it seems then that given the exit order book, it's possible that FY27 can be a little softer versus 26, and 28 then can see a meaningful jump. Is that a correct understanding?
No.
Okay.
I said that we will grow in the top line and bottom line both in this financial year compared to last year. That's our work which is going on.
Understood. Second then, my question was around the announcement foray into defense segment. So I would just request to throw some more light into this as to what exactly are we trying to do here, which verticals are we looking at, and when can we possibly expect the first commercial order in this particular space? Thanks.
So the company is into advanced stage of technology tie-ups into certain very strategic segments, which may include autonomous kind of vehicles and other stuff. If I apologize, and I believe you will support me, I am not in a position to disclose today in this call, but within few weeks, I will get to know as things progress in each of this. The board has, of course, sanctioned the budget because there are some outflow will also happen along with it. So we are pretty certain that in this financial year, we will see a positive step forward towards that.
Understood. Helpful. And thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Mr. Ashok Shah from Eklavya Invesco Family Office. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Sir, are we ready for any acquisition in the wheel sector if any private company is making it? Because the wheels is always in demand and there is always shortage.
While in all of the business segments what we have indicated, we are open for meaningful collaboration and acquisition too. We are, of course, working on certain prospects, but if anything comes, we remain open.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from Mr. Rupesh Tatia from Long Equity Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. My question, sir, is on wheel set shortage issue that industry was grappling with. Can you give some view about how this issue will play out in FY27 and FY28? Is it fair to assume that there will be no major shortage in, let's say, from second half of FY27 once the large order comes?
I can answer you from the current macroeconomic scenario and the various steps government is taking. As of now, or the policy guidelines what government has. The wheel we are dependent on, we remain historically dependent on Indian railway supply because it was mandated for Indian railway ordered wagons. Now, when the private is increasing, we have to see that what is the level of, what is the policy decision government takes in terms of allowing us import or they insist us buying. As of now, they say that Indian Railway has enough capacity and they can supply. So we are yet to check this, and I mean, we'll be very happy to not to import if things works out in that way. As of now, it's going smooth. There was off and on, it comes on, but there have been a ramp up in terms of the capacity by Indian Railway also. So it's a kind of a mixed answer I do not have right now. But for Texmaco, you see that we have, as of now, a good backup in terms of the private orders, and with the exports coming in, and we are not dependent exactly on this crisis. So in that way, we should not encounter much as of now.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for that answer, sir. The second question, sir, is the private sector in India, right? Specifically, I'm asking about India. What would be our market share, and can you give you know, some idea about the opportunity?
So I think in the private sector overall target, we are in the range of anything around 40% as of now, 40 to 45%, and it changes, the scenario changes, but when it's more of a specialized type wagon, so our percentage has gone up, and so we feel that this continuity will remain, and we will improve upon, if not remain here. I mean, that's a good share because the volume in the private is increasing.
But the size is like, let's say, 10,000 wagons a year in the private sector, sir?
It depends. There was around 10,000, sometime it is 7,000, but we feel that on a consistent basis, it can remain in the range of 12 to 15,000.
Okay, okay. And then the final quick question, sir, is, I mean, this large wagon tender that is expected, in your assessment, what would be, you know, the latest time by which the tender will be out? Q3 is latest. Is that a fair assumption to make?
First of all, sir, it may come at a go, or it may be divided into few tranches also. But the requirement will remain. Even if it comes at a go, or if it comes every year, it hardly matters, but we know there is a need and requirement of consistent, if I even divide it into year-wise. So there will be a requirement about 25 to 30,000 wagon for the coming 5 to 7 years. And even whatever wagons retires, you know, that's also in the range of around 10 to 14,000 per annum. So, I mean, combining, I mean, on a worst case scenario, there should be a requirement of around 25 to 30,000. That's what we feel to ramp up the railway share. And I feel that government is quite actively working. But when it will come, how it will come, what would be the priority, you and me, we are in the same state. We can't just comment on that.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for answering my question, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Harshit from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So just a couple of questions. So firstly, on the real estate plan that we have mentioned in our results press release. So we have some land bank, and we plan to develop a real estate project on it. And we have also created this new vertical. So if you could throw some light on how big this land bank is and what could be the size of opportunity.
So basically it is that is, you can put it in a theme of land bank unlocking. So there are so many unutilized things or in and around. So for making our, say, balance sheet stronger or to utilize it properly, I mean, that was the whole theme of it, the real estate.
So actually,
It's absolutely just supplementing Sudipto, in addition to his question, that we have reorganized and restructured our operations. As a result, we have some prime land which has come up. It is not a distressed sale of land. So it's just that it has come up, which is a good value. And the competency requirement for development of land is totally different from making wagons. So we decided that this would be a separate business division. And I don't think this division is going to be a long continuing one, because we don't have that much of land. But whatever we have, we will start developing it. As you know, that the Bengal has some issues on the Land Ceiling Act, etc., which I hear is going to be going off, because today there is a press statement given by the BJP president. But whatever it happens, so when we come to that situation, we will start developing this land through our own development company. So this is the scenario. It's not that we are selling land to get money out of it. But it's a good offer. Since we have restructured, we have got good land at premium places, why not we develop?
Understood. And so secondly, on our last month's announcement of the launch of Enviries and the foray into GCC. So I believe we had done a soft launch towards the end of 2025 in Faridabad. Just wanted more color on this. I mean, if you could...
It's a very interesting project. Actually, we have actually already launched an AI platform in collaboration with an international American company, which is also a partner of NVIDIA. We have access to most of the cloud, and we will also have access to AWS and Microsoft, so the cloud. This GCC will be working on portfolios instead of going into a huge amount of back-to-back, wall-to-wall kind of services. We will work on specific portfolios. For example, the rail solutions, rail design. Then we also will look into the customer relation management. Then we will also look into cost reduction in production, automation, operation maintenance, efficiency, as Sudipto said, through monitoring and then getting data. So this is going to be a very interesting one. It's not going to be only, we are also looking at the fertilizers used, how we can reduce water consumption, how we can optimize the farmer. So it's about whether this is an interesting, but also we have a furniture unit, but we are there, we need to do a lot of, we need to bring in service. Yeah, as well as the after-sales service is lacking. So we are all putting it together and going by portfolio instead of getting into a wall-to-wall service. However, it will also be available. This is not only for internal use, we are also going out to market. So I expect that this is going to be one of the major growth areas for us.
So, yeah, that was precisely the question. So is the primary goal to digitize our own internal manufacturing process, or largely of the Adyen's group, or vision to build a standalone commercial AI services business?
Ultimately, the vision is that it will be a commercial AI. Right now, it is being anchored by Texaco because there are a lot of internal work also we need to do. However, it will also go to market. In fact, it will have lots of opportunities, and we started already bringing in number of seats. We don't want too many number of seats, but as happening in today's GCC, everyone starting with an optimized number, because as you have the AI, you can cut down on the numbers of people, and that's exactly what we are doing.
Understood, sir. Thanks and all the best.
We have got very strong team actually working for us. We have a very, very strong team in this.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take this as the last question for today's call. I now hand the conference over to management for the closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Well, this is Indrajit Mukherjee once again, and I'll have to thank the investors from the bottom of my heart, because I know that you're asking these questions because you love the company and you want the company to prosper. And it is our duty as the operators of the company, as the management of the company, to give you correct, precise information. But I also have to say that somewhere we couldn't have given you exactly the exact numbers that you wanted, because we also are bound by certain guidelines with our partners, confidentiality, disclosures. So we also have to sort of do a, we have to be something, doing a balance walking. While we want to satisfy with all your questions and tell you what we are doing, but at the same time, somewhere we have to restrict certain disclosure of information. So if we have not satisfied you on this, then this was completely unintended. And please, I do apologize on behalf of all my colleagues and friends. However, I see, you can see that your company is poised for growth, and we are transforming. As you have seen, we are transforming. We are reducing the cyclical onto the risk of cyclical type of business. We are moving into sustainability is one of our major areas that we are going, because this sustaining growth is very important as you start exporting, because it becomes also very important from the environmental sustenance, as well as whatever we want to do, we want it for a long-term sustaining. We just don't want it to be just one opportunity and do it. So everything is very well thought out. We had many, many sessions of strategy before we came to this. We also have taken the services of the top management gurus of the world, you know, the people who are considered to be the topmost management advisors, and they work mostly in the US and Europe, and we also have interacted with them to sort of see whether we are making any mistakes or not, so that we don't have mistakes. Having said this, I wish to thank all of you for spending your time with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.